This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
The ACC Network Tour rolls in the Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium today, so we'll talk a little Duke football later on. But Wes, right now, we go down to Tallahassee, Florida, where the head football coach of your Florida State Seminoles joins us, Mike Norvell. Coach, first of all, good morning. Good seeing you again.
Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well. Definitely exciting time getting ready to get back on that practice field.
Amen to that, man. Let's play some ball.
Packer has already said, Coach, that he hopes you don't breathe. We're not going to ask about quarterback. We'll be the first interview not to ask about quarterback because Mark lives under the theory of no, don't tell, right, Pack? What's the story here? You don't want to know, do you?
Well, I would like to know, but I always appreciate coaches that get sick and tired of the question and go, hey, you know what? I'll tell you when you're going to find out who's going to be my starting quarterback. Sunday night when we come rolling out of there, and out of the first huddle, you're going to probably find it. And I tell you what, maybe I put both guys out there just for some fun. So, Coach, I hope you give everybody the stiff arm until we kick this bad boy off a month from now against Notre Dame.
Well, we definitely wanted to be unique. That's why we brought both of them to media day. So we're giving no tips away. But you know, both those guys are great young men. They've worked extremely hard. You know, had really impressive springs, continuing to grow and develop. You know, with McKenzie being a newcomer that's joined the program, the way he's building relationships throughout this team, and you know, kind of getting back into the swing of the day to day interaction and competition. It's been fun seeing him to grow and develop. And then you know, with Jordan Travis. Just the strides that he's taken, it's remarkable, and really excited about him and all the guys there in that quarterback room. It's going to be some great time competition.
Coach, there's probably no way to measure the difference from one year to the next, but when you start practice on Saturday, you got to feel like you're miles down the road with this football program compared to the uniqueness of a year ago, right?
No, absolutely. And, you know, just the overall understanding of the expectation, you know, that having the full offseason, being able to see these guys be put in extremely challenging positions throughout the course of a practice. And those 15 opportunities that we got, the way they were able to respond, just the relationships that have been built and the great work that they've done in the weight in our strength and conditioning program and the weight room and what they're doing nutritionally. I'm really impressed with the investment that our team's making. And now we got to take that to the practice field, and you've seen a lot more confident team because of the work of what we put in.
Mm. Coach, I speak for Wes on this too. Neither one of us are recruiting junkies, but I will tell you, when I do dabble in it, I have noticed all of a sudden Florida State is appearing like it used to be, where you're getting 4- and 5-star kids. And I know you can't talk about them from a legal perspective and so forth, but I don't think there's any question that the brand Florida State has always had a great national brand. And yet the last couple of years, as far as wins and losses, you want to win more than you lose. I get all that. But I'm sure you're now finding out in a really short period of time as the head coach that brand, Florida State, still brings the heat. And kids understand what it's all about in Tallahassee playing football.
There's no question about it. I mean, this is an iconic brand. Coast to coast, this is a special place, and you'll be able to get kids on campus. You know, throughout the summer has been it's been remarkable. It's crazy taking the job. I didn't foresee having 15 months where we wouldn't be able to get anybody on campus. But you know, being able to have those interactions, sharing the visions, being able to build those relationships, and for these recruits to come in and to see our players work, to be able to have those conversations, what it's like and the expectations of what we're asking and how we're developing our guys, there's definitely a great deal of excitement, and we're finding the right fit for Florida State, and that's something the evaluation process is critical for us, and that's something that we spend a lot of time building those relationships and excited about what the future holds.
Mike, it seems like football programs since June 1 have been all gas, no brakes, though, right? I mean, what happened to the offseason, right? You hope for a break, I guess, a little bit, but you got to recharge on the fly, it seems like, to get to September.
Yeah, I mean, but you were about the relationships, and you could do only so much there, with the virtually and with all the things recruiting, the Zoom calls. I mean, those are great and wonderful, but there's nothing like being able to get face to face with a young man and his family, mm-hmm. and to be able to have those interactions. And so we tried to maximize every moment that we had from 12:01 on June 1st. You know, we had kids that were here on campus, and you know, being able to share that vision, to be able to have those great experiences, it was definitely fully packed, but something that was well appreciated, and you're excited about how those things have developed throughout the course of the summer, and you're definitely looking forward to when the season starts, continuing to attract the nation's best here to Tallahassee.
Coach, you've been able to take advantage of the transfer portal too, haven't you? I mean, it gives there's a give and take with that. A lot of folks have such a negative connotation with the transfer portal, but you know what? You can also use that to your advantage.
Well, you know, this was a unique year for us too. I mean, you know, we're coming off a season where we're the youngest football team in all of college football, and being able to find guys that have come in. I think we have 13 transfers that have played in over 310 games that have come into our program. Yeah. That is a great deal of experience. But you know, not only the on the field production, but who these guys are off the field, who they are, the desire that they have to make an impact, to show a proper leadership role to some of our young players, and for all of them to develop together. And that's what I've enjoyed. You look at at spring, we were able to get the majority of the transfers here, and those guys were able to start making those investments. We have a handful that have been able to come into the program here this summer, and I think just the way that it all kind of transitioned together with our youth and the opportunity that we had with the transfer portal, I think we've been able to capitalize on that and add to the competition and to the quality leadership that we want within our program.
Coach, I know he came to the kickoff, but it said a lot to me that Jermaine Johnson was in Charlotte, and just his comments and his presence led me to believe that guy is there to be a factor in your program. Not just this year, he's there to be a factor in what you're building, it looks like.
Absolutely. And he's a unique young man. You know, he's great talent. You know, when you meet him, you see with tremendous size, speed, the explosiveness of what he plays with. But, you know, he does have a passion to impact others in a positive way. And when Jermaine came and, you know, we started the recruiting process, after he got in the transfer portal, that was something that was, well discussed. And it was something that he embraced that he wanted to seek out. And, you know, he's done that since the first day that he got here on campus. I challenge him daily in all things that he does, and he embraces that. But he wants to be a great example for his teammates. We've got some tremendous leaders, guys like Amari Gaynor, Fabian Lovett. Robert Cooper, guys that have done some great things here, in Tallahassee, but Jermaine's somebody that's come in and really made a great investment, and we're looking forward to what this year is going to be for him and how he's going to be able to impact our team.
Coach, we've talked a lot on our show about week one in college football, especially within the ACC and matchups. You opened with Notre Dame, and obviously the Irish last year, part of the ACC, now they come in there as a non-conference opponent. How important is the fact that, number one, you played them last year, great brand name, Sunday night, under the lights, national TV. It would seem to me it's a great incentive for your football team all spring and summer, knowing that, guess what, week one, we're not just going to kind of cruise into the season. You know, it's going to be a little smash-mouth football with the Irish coming to town. How important is that, knowing, number one, the opponent, and the fact it's a big deal week one?
Well, it's what college football is all about, and those are the games you want to be a part of. And there's nothing greater than the thought of national broadcast, Florida State versus Notre Dame right here in Doak Campbell Stadium. I mean, especially coming off the year that we just had, and the things that all of the transitions and challenges that the year presented, to be able to open up here at home in a marquee matchup. You know, our guys have done a great job throughout the off season. I mean, they know what's ahead, and they know the challenge that's ahead, and we're looking forward to the opportunity, and you're definitely excited about you being able to kick off in the fashion that we're going to be able to here at home against Notre Dame.
Well, that's the other thing too. The fashion you want to includes, you know, Doak Campbell, Bobby Bowden Field, lights on, Osceola aboard Renegade, doing all the things that make Florida State the brand, Coach.
Oh, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's one of the greatest greatest traditions in all of college football, and you know, I still have yet to experience that. With a packed house. So I'm kind of looking forward to that as well. You know, you look through the last year. You know, the things that you look forward to coming in and being a head coach at Florida State. You know, being able to the two in-state rivalry games. I've yet to be able to coach in one of those games yet. You know, being able to see a packed up Campbell. I mean, those things. A lot of things to look forward to here this year, and you're definitely the right way to kick it off September 5th.
I got to ask you about name, image, and likeness. We're a month into it. A lot of folks thought, oh, this is gloom and doom, the end of college sports. Hey, life's going to be okay, man. Kids, you got a chance to make some coin on the side. What's it been like from a name, image, and likeness standpoint for, number one, your players, and number two, for you as a head coach?
You know, I think it's a great opportunity for our players, and they now get to really be their own business, and to be able to make those decisions and choices of what they want to represent, the opportunities that get presented to them, and to be able to focus on how they want that balance to look, and what they want it to be. And I really appreciate our administration and the advanced thought and the proactive approach that we've had in being able to create the Apex program, and helping these guys throughout the process, well before July 1st hit, so that our guys can have confidence going into this new age of college athletics. And I think our guys have done a remarkable job with it. And it's always good as a coach for you to see the work that's going in and the passion that our guys have. And I think they're doing things at a very high level when it comes to the NIL.
Coach, obviously we got some tough news in Charlotte about Coach Bowden. I know that you've had an opportunity to spend some time with him. I know his presence in that program is day-to-day just from the legacy he has put together. How do you share that with the team? How do you obviously most kids know who Bobby Bowden is, I'm going to guess, but do you remind them about that building block and kind of how it correlates to what you're trying to build to, I guess, a little?
Well, I mean, I think any player, any fan, any coach, when you step foot here at Florida State, that's the name you're going to associate to our program. And Coach Bowden is remarkable. The example that he is and has been for the last 40 years within our program history, it's truly special. And the news came out, of the challenges that he's going through right now. But his mindset, his approach, the peace that he spoke of, once again is a tremendous example of who he is and what he's all about. And our players, our coaches, we understand who we represent, and that's a great thing about being at Florida State. Is we have that those great teams, that great coaches that have been here. But really, Coach Bowden and the foundation and the pillars that he built, we represent something that's special, and it's been done the right way, and that is our challenge, to do it to that standard in everything that we do on the field, off the field, in the classroom, because he has built this program, and it really elevated this entire university to something truly special.
Yep, you're 100% right about that. All right, but closing, final question. Do you want to go ahead and announce your starting quarterback on the show? Just asking.
September 5th.
I love it. One month from tonight, right? We're going to find out what's going on down there in Tallahassee.
There we go.
Love it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you, guys. Go Noles.
You bet. Mike Norvell, head football coach at Florida State. Appreciate his time. His team kicks off practice on Saturday. Report day tomorrow. Month away from the Noles and the Irish. Yep, Sunday month. Night pack. The weekend is just going to be awesome. And we're going to be in Raleigh on Thursday. We got Wake, Old Dominion on ACC Network. Got Carolina, Virginia Tech on Friday night. Saturday is full. Sunday night, you got that. Monday night, we got Louisville, Ole Miss. Come on now.
Welcome back.
How good is that going to be?
Welcome back, college football. Yeah. Right? And we mean it. And last year, we were really fortunate to have any kind of season last year. A lot of folks did brilliant work just to have games played. But this year kind of feels like, you know what? Just like Coach said, when he comes zipping through that tunnel and there's 82,000 going bonkers, that is a special place. I'm telling you. If you've never been there, when it is a big game and people are juiced up and ready to roll, under the lights, Chief Osceola, Flaming Spear, whoever comes through that other tunnel, you're going to have a bunch of BB helmets coming through on the other side with Notre Dame, man. It is go time in Tallahassee Sunday night. 1 month from right now. Looking forward for it. That's going to be great.
By the way, have you ever noticed that Doak Campbell, you can watch it on opening night this year. Florida State runs through a tunnel that's as wide as the sea. Notre Dame runs through a tunnel that's about this wide. Got to turn sideways. Some of the big ones will have to turn sideways to get out of the tunnel. It's one of the little,
that is,
as Eric Wood used to say, one of the little ninja mind games they play with you down in Tallahassee.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though, when Florida State's right, when Florida State's right, it's one of the great spots in college football. I'm just telling you, especially under the lights. And, you know, I've harped on this 1,000 times if I've said it once. You know, this league needs Florida State to be Florida State. This league needs Miami to be the U, right? Has to happen.
Right.
Clemson's rocking. They're kicking it. They're doing their thing. If you give me North Carolina in the top 10, NC State a top 15 team, if BC can get hot, if Pitt can roll, that's how you change this narrative about the league. And I saw Joey Galloway the other day doing his breakdown of the ACC, and his answer was, it's terrible. Well, I mean, that's great. That's a lot of heavy lifting there. But the way you change the narrative, the way you change the narrative is to beat people, right? You have to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, roll up your sleeves, get to work. But we need Florida State to be Florida State.
When we come back, this weekend, our parent company will have the Ocho. And there are a list of programs that are going to be on the Ocho this weekend. And we have them for you. We'll get Pack's reaction to them next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Main thanks to Mike Norvell, head football coach at Florida State. Georgia Tech's head man, Coach Collins. He's going to join us leading off the Power Hour. And in between will be Steve Wiseman.
Yeah, GC5.
That's it. Steve Wiseman will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes or so from the News and Observer. Talk about Duke football because the infamous ACC Network Tour comes rolling in. Well, Wallace Wade Outdoor.
Hold on. How is it infamous? It's only in its second day.
I know.
The football road trip with Chris Cotter and Eric McClain today.
But I mean, it was an awesome debut. Tuffy 3 getting some airplay with Katie George and that been – big old 10-carat rock on her finger, and Eric McClain. That wolf pup, man. I'm all for the wolf pup getting some face time.
Guess what else? Our friend Dave Parker at Amedios took care of the group last night, too.
Oh, is that right? You know, I've never been there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to Amedios. We've already been requested when we're there. If it works out, we're going to go to Amedios and get a big old plate of lasagna for you.
Sounds good for breakfast. How about for breakfast?
All right.
What do you think? You think Tuffy 3 likes a little lasagna about 9 a.m. on set?
Oh, see, this is where you get yourself in trouble. We're going to move on from this because you're already – yes, you are, because this is not how we get Tuffy to the set for live television is when you say you're going to feed Tuffy lasagna from Amedios. Although, given Amedios lasagna, it'd probably be pretty good.
Tuffy 3's live debut on ACC Network. That's what we're shooting for.
Right.
Thursday, September 2nd.
All right.
Carter Finley.
Okay.
Be there.
The Ocho returns tomorrow on ESPN2 at 10 a.m. So our show ends. You flip over and start watching Unique Sports, an eclectic lineup of unique sporting endeavors. Last night, in a kind of a preview, there was some putt-putt being staged on ESPN2. However, this was like not Billy Packer putt-putt, the difficult par two. I was hoping for Billy Packer putt-putt.
Yeah, if you're not bringing in the real true professionals of putt-putt from yesteryear, I mean, I didn't see it, so I don't know what they aired, but that is secondary market stuff. I mean, if you want the real deal, Frank Lieber, Billy Packer, David Lloyd – from Fayetteville.
Difficult part two.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, no windmills here. Yeah. And we're not talking about windmills and all that, putt through the clown's mouth. That's all garbage. That's amateur hour.
Some of the
clown act.
To quote the great analyst Billy Packer, some of the fellas here on the tour, David, are using the backboard to help themselves.
Yeah. If for folks that know what we're talking about, You're laughing right now, but I mean, if it wasn't that, then I don't know what ESPN's airing on the Ocho.
All right,
that's clown act.
Okay,
clown act.
All right, here's some of the endeavors that will air tomorrow. Your thoughts, please, on these.
All right, let me see them.
You're going to get the Corgi races at Emerald Downs.
All for it. Corgi dogs, yeah. Man, they're cool. Love them.
Okay,
their butts float. By the way, I saw a video of that the other day. But anytime you got Corgi races, I am all for it. I told you, you give me live animals and we're doing stuff on television.
Okay.
I'm all for it. So that's a thumbs up for me. Corgi races.
All right. Table shuffleboard crazy eights.
No.
Competitors meet in Dallas for a variation of traditional shuffleboard that gives every player an equal chance to win. Goal is to accomplish a hanger which 4 points are scored, maximum amount possible, and is achieved by getting the weight to hang over the end of the board.
No. Not interested. Okay. Give me more corgis, less table.
Pogo Palooza. World Championships of Extreme Pogo. The game features the best pogo athletes. They perform innovative moves and enthrall the onlooking crowd.
No. I'll watch the Olympics instead of that. No. Pass on pogo.
All right. Stern Heads Up Pinball Invitational. Players from various locations compete trying to obtain the highest score possible.
Is that like Howard pinball. Stern? Howard Stern Heads Up Pinball?
No,
or is that just
no,
Stern Heads Up Pinball?
I don't think so. Air Hockey Invitational.
I'll go for that.
You know air hockey.
Yeah, I'll
you're a big air
hockey
guy.
Well,
back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, we'd go a little air hockey. I mean, some people would get hurt.
But
you have to be careful. That disc can get airborne when you really get ticked off. So, yeah.
The disc flies off the table.
I think you get airborne. You got to be careful. Heads up. Head on a swivel. So, yeah, I'll go pro air hockey on that. Yes. I'm in for that one.
You and Beret square off in air hockey before at Clemson?
I don't remember taking on
don't
Tim Bone
that,
Beret
yeah.
in air hockey, but air hockey and Pac-Man and all that stuff was all that was all part of the gig. That was part of the deal. So, yeah, I'm pro air hockey.
Here's one. The World Championship Rototiller Races. Competitors run full speed behind a garden tiller.
Yes.
As they race up a dirt strip with a goal of getting to the finish line as quickly as possible.
Yes. You know why? The intrigue of a wreck is really interesting there. I mean, nobody really cares who wins. We just want to see if there's some kind of friction. Is there a little bumping and grinding? You know, it's like NASCAR. Rubbing is racing. You give me rototillers up a hill. Yeah, I think I'd watch some of that. I'm in for that one.
All right. 52nd annual World Championship Cow Chip Throwing Contest.
First of all, is it really the 52nd annual? That's really legit? We're 52
That's
years into this?
That's what it says, yes.
Where is this taking place, by the way? What state gets to host?
Oklahoma.
Then yes.
Oklahoma.
Hey, Oklahoma and cow chips, spectacular. And they'll be bringing that to the SEC, by the way. Probably in the next 3 to 4 years. So, yes, I am all for cow chip throwing. Pro cow chip.
Do you envision this being like the discus in the Olympics?
Yes. Matter of fact, now that you said you said it's from Oklahoma, I mean, there's some states I would say no. Oklahoma, yes. Pro Oklahoma in this department.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, the SEC's got to be excited about having that, don't they?
Means more.
That's 2021 U.S. Air Guitar Championships.
Yes. No doubt.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, yes,
All
yes.
Right. All right. Here's the last one.
Yes.
The 2020 United States of America Mullet Championships. It's business in the front, party in the back for contestants with the much-talked-about hairstyle whose mullets are judged for a chance to win the Mullet Mega Money Pot.
How much is that? What's the prize there?
I have no...
Free haircut?
No idea.
Sport clips? Where is that taking place, by the way? That's an important question
as
well.
I don't have that. Myrtle Beach would be my first guess, but I'm going to go somewhere else.
Kentucky? Kentucky. How about Oklahoma?
Kentucky.
I mean, come on. We got head football coach OK State out there to take it right out of the gate. How about Arkansas?
There's
Arkansas
some people that would say Florida, but I'm not that guy.
How about Arkansas?
Some would say Florida. I'm not going to say that.
Is that a Texas?
Celeste, Texas, I'm being told. I'm being told by our staff. Celeste, yes. Texas.
So, all right, so yeah, half okay. of those I'm in, half of those I'm interested in. Half of them. That's a start.
All right. But again, the disappointment of not having an original PPA event from Fort Bragg Boulevard in Fayetteville with Billy Packer is extreme. We're very disappointed.
That's a whiff.
Very disappointed.
Total whiff.
And we have video of that, folks. We have video. All you got to do is ask. All right. When we come back, halfway home, Steve Weissman is next. We'll get caught up on the Blue Devils. A day in for David Cutcliffe. What did Steve see? What kind of questions do you think we're looking at with this Blue Devil program as they head to an opening night game in Charlotte against the 49ers of Will Healy? Next on P&D.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Give me thanks to Mike Norvell, who just joined us, coming up in about a half an hour. You got Jeff Collins, head football coach of your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. But right now, Wes, we head to Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium, where ACC Network Tour rolls into town. Practices begin, and Steve Weissman joins us. Steve, good seeing you again. How's life treating you?
It's treating me very well, guys. Good to see you all. Pack, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, feeling a little better, making progress slowly but surely. But, hey, the good news is football is in the air. So with that said, Duke football 21, what are your expectations for this crowd?
Well, I mean, you know, what's a successful season, right? Three wins would be successful after last year, right? They only won two. But I think they're shooting a little higher than that. I know that they want to get this program back to where it was just a couple of years ago, you know, competing for bowl games every year and making those trips and being a postseason regular. And they've got a ways to go because they went 2-9 last year. But, you know, they've the non-conference schedule sets up to where they can get some wins in September and get some momentum going, and then we'll see what they do in conference play.
Steve, we talk about, I guess, by the letter of the law, 10 starters are back. But Mateo Durant's a returning starter. I mean, that guy played enough to be classified as a starter. That'd be six. You start to see some of the mixing and matching that went on at wide receiver last year, maybe a handful more. The focus is on Gunnar Holmberg because he's the only guy in the league who hasn't started a ball game who could potentially start in week one. How much of that do you think is seamless, though? How much experience does Gunnar Holmberg have without actually having the game starting experience?
Right. I mean, this is his fourth year in the program. So he was on the team. He played in the Independence Bowl in 2018 that Daniel Jones started. That was Daniel Jones' last game with Duke. So that tells you how long he's been around. Now, he was hurt in 2019 and didn't get to be on the field after getting hurt, hit his knee in training camp. So that year's out. But he does have some playing experience. So he knows the offense. Everybody's comfortable with him. He knows the players, all that stuff. So there's a for a new starter, that's about as good as you're going to get, right? I mean, somebody who's been in the program that long and been around everybody.
David Cutcliffe, tremendous football coach. He's done a great job at Duke, especially with what he inherited. I think sometimes folks forget where Duke football was before he rolled into town. You saw some practice yesterday. Where is his mindset heading into, again, it looks like another part two, part three of kind of rejuvenating a Duke football program?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're kind of back. You know, 2-9 is kind of what he inherited, right? I mean, they were struggling to win that many games, and so he's kind of back to square one, although not totally back to square one, because when he got here, I mean, the team was out of shape. They didn't have practice facilities, that kind of stuff. So he's starting from a better place. But yeah, that's his attitude is he doesn't think it'll take him very long to get back to, you know, 6-7 wins and a bowl game, even though he only won two last year. So he's energized. I mean, he looks great. I mean, he's somebody in the pandemic that used it and got himself in really good shape. He lost the weight. I guess guys like me found it, right? So that's what happened. But he looks great. He's energized. He was just this morning. We were out there at 7:15. He was out there on the tower, you know, with a megaphone, talking to the guys and keeping them going that way. So he thinks he can get this turned around quickly again.
Steve, if they do, where does it start in your mind? I mean, is it defensively? We can go to turnovers, and just like Louisville, if they don't turn it over as much last year, they win more than two games. But strategically, where does this have to begin for them to be successful?
Well, it's going to be in the lines, both offensively and defensively, because you can't get an offense going. You can't use Mateo Durant to his fullest talents without the offensive line doing the job. And they need Jack Woolabaugh back at center. He was out there at practice this morning. He's coming after missing last year with a knee injury, so that's a really good sign. And he's the key, like in the middle. You got Jack, and then you got your guards coming back who you know. And then on the outside, they have new starting tackles, Graham Barton and John Gillott. And so Graham played a little bit as a true freshman at center last year because of all the injuries. He's moving out to tackle. I think that's where his future is. But again, they've got to show they can do it. That's some youth on the edges, and that can be a bit of a concern. Defensively, we know what they lost to the NFL, right? Victor DiMucchese and Chris Rumpf and all that. So Ben Fry is back as a starter. He's going to move out to end from defensive tackle. And then they got a mess of sophomores who are all going to fill in those other three spots. Again, those are new guys that have to prove they can do it. They've been in the program a couple of years. Ben Albert is a great defensive line coach, so he's really improved that area at Duke more than any position in the last 5 or 6 years. So he's got to do it again. He's got to get these guys ready to play, and they've got to be able to stop the run and pressure the passer.
Steve, I want to look at big picture at Duke. It's been a really interesting transitional period here the last couple of months covering this team. We know about David Cutcliffe and the stability there and trying to get this thing going again. But, with the news of Mike Krzyzewski, the change with the administration and so forth, what's that been like on campus? That's always an interesting time when a school makes those kind of decisions and you see this coming, whether we're talking football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Cut is closer to the end of his tenure than the beginning, right? So a few more years here, and he's going to turn 67 this fall, and so 3 years away from 70. So it's interesting that a lot of the changes, though, they're all internal, right? I mean, Nina King took over for Kevin White. John Shire is going to replace Coach K as the head coach. So there's so much familiarity that it takes away some of that uncertainty of what's going on. I mean, Cut has worked with Nina, and now Art Chase is the sport supervisor. Nina was that job. Now she's the AD. Art's moving over. So Cut has worked with these guys for a decade since he's been here. So they all know each other. They all trust each other. They all know where they're trying to get this thing. And so there's not a lot of uncertainty with the way they all feel about what's going on.
And you mentioned Ben Albert. In my mind, Steve, David Cutcliffe has done as good a job as just about anybody of growing coaches in his program. I look at Jeff Ferris, who's going to be the offensive coordinator this year. You mentioned Ben Albert. He and Matt Guerrieri have done a really good job trying to retool this defense, and they've turned some talent out. You mentioned the guys in the front, the guys in the secondary. A lot of players have come out of that area. It's a coaching staff where the inconsistency for this football team the last 2 years has been centered around the one position, though it's seemingly a quarterback. And then when you combine it with the inequities in the offensive line, that's the easiest place to pinpoint, don't you think, about why they've been struggling the last couple of years?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's been quarterback play for 2 years in a row. And who would think a David Cutcliffe coach team would have that kind of problems at quarterback? But it kind of goes back to, Daniel Jones became such a star that he left a year before he was done, right? So that kind of threw the whole schedule off, right? And then Gunnar Holmberg was supposed to be ready to start last year. Well, he got hurt in 2019, and he couldn't play. He wasn't really ready to play in 2020, so they had to go get Chase Bryce, and that was a disaster because of the pandemic and everything. It just didn't work out. So, this is their fourth starting quarterback in 4 years. Cut was the offensive coordinator last year, right? The year before that, it was Zach Roper. Now it's Jeff Ferris. They're all, again, like you said, within the system. They all came up through Duke football, so they all know what's going on. So it's not a drastic change, but it's still a new voice running things. And so that is something else to adjust to this year. But he has grown a good staff. I mean, Matt Guerrieri, I think, is going to be a head coach at some point, whether it's here after Cut goes or some other place he gets the opportunity. And there's really a good group of young coaches here that are hungry to get this thing turned around.
Steve, you know, we all look at schedules this time of the year because we're down to 3-4 weeks till kickoff. And you mentioned this earlier. Duke's got an opportunity to get off to a pretty good start. You got 4 non-conference games right out of the gate. And that first game against Charlotte, not to put too much emphasis on it, but it really does feel like coming after a season like last year, that's a game you got to get a W. You know, you got a chance to beat Charlotte. You beat North Carolina A&T. You take your chances with Northwestern and Kansas from the Big Ten and the Big 12, respectively. You got a chance to get some momentum early if you're Duke. But you know what? You also get the sense that, hey, you better get some momentum early in September.
Yes, because that back half, you know, all the conference games they have there, and especially starting off the ACC play against North Carolina, which just came in here and just routed Duke last year. The two programs are going in different directions, it looks like, the last couple of years. So, yeah, they need to come out. They need to play really well at Charlotte, a team that they beat them 53-19 last year. So they should have some confidence going into that, play well. It's a very important game for them. And then you have A&T. You know, they're going to be favored probably in 3 of the first 4 games, right? Because we know – Kansas is one of the worst Power 5 programs. They're probably looking at Duke saying, maybe we can get a win there, right? I mean, that's how it goes. But anyway, they should be 3-1 going into Carolina if things work out as they want it to. I mean, if not 4-0, but Northwestern would be a little tougher. But they need that confidence going into that Carolina game because of what happened in that game last year. They weren't competitive at all, and they need to be more competitive against their arch rival. And so it's a chance for them to get it going. If they can get 3 wins in non-conference, you just got to find 3 wins within the ACC, and you're back in a bowl game.
All right, Steve, here's the question we can ask you because we ask coaches, we're not going to get an answer. We're going to get a lot of walk around about a lot of guys are going to help us. Is there a young guy on this roster who we're not talking enough about in your mind? Is there a player we're not talking enough about who could impact this season for Duke?
I think I'm going to go back to the defensive line. And you know, Dwayne Carter is the guy they did bring to Media Day, right? So they are talking about him a little bit. But but he's the guy that seems like can really make that step up and really be an impact player on, you know, pressuring the quarterback, stopping the run. I mean, making big plays there, havoc plays, as they say. And they really need him to do that because – of all they lost there. Somebody has to step up there and be really good. Another guy named Gary Smith is a guy they really like a lot. He's a converted linebacker, kind of playing down on the front four. So I would keep an eye on those two guys because somebody's going to have to do it, and they're in position to do it, and they think they can have a big year.
By the way, Steve, I think any time that Duke and Kansas decide to play each other in football, it should be mandated that same season they play in hoops. And I don't mean a neutral
Absolutely.
Site. I don't mean a neutral site. We'll see you in New York City or Chicago. Home and home. That would be an awesome, awesome basketball series.
If anything comes out of the realignment mess, can we get that done, right? Can we get Duke and Kansas playing each year on their famed home courts?
Done?
Something.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Yeah. I think it'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Steve Weissman covers Duke for the News and Observer. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Great to see you. Be well.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
All right. You bet. Don't forget the ACC Network football road trip continues tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern. Chris Cotta joins Eric McLean at Venerable Wallace Wade Stadium Pack.
Wait a minute.
David Cutcliffe and more.
Wait a minute.
Coming up. What?
Is the coveted invite, is she just hanging out with the wolf pup back in Raleigh? She didn't make the trip to Duke?
I guess. Yeah. I guess that's the way that worked out.
How about that?
Chris Cotter's there with Eric McLean. One and done is Katie George, at least for the time being. But Cotter and Eric McLean tonight at 7 on the West Campus in Durham, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. In case you missed any of the debut road trip yesterday to Raleigh, best of. How about the red brick slobbering wolf helmet in week one?
Tuffy.
And of course, Tuffy 3. Yeah. Next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
have to ask before we let you go. If you were out in Montana, do you watch the show Yellowstone?
I love the show. Absolutely.
Okay, so my
Beth Dutton fan or a Rip fan?
Huge or, Beth Dutton fan.
Is she still,
we don't know. Maybe
we don't want to spoil it for anyone else. Okay.
So wait, real quick. Do you ever get mistaken for Kevin Cole?
I know. My wife's going to love that. I do have a cowboy hat, yeah. And I love the show, and it has happened from time to time. People will ask me about
it. I totally see it.
I'll go be a double for him, maybe. Yeah. It'd be great. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is Durant, one of his first movies that came out a long, long time ago. So I can't remember. It might have been his first movie
that
came out.
Come on.
Yeah, I love Kevin Costner.
No
Kevin
doubt.
Costner.
I tell you what. Hey, Dave Dorn. Coach, I'm talking to you a second. I promise you, if you don't think I'm going to have some Kevin Costner jokes next time we get together, you're out of your mind. Yeah. Hey, aren't you George Clooney? Yeah, I am. I am George Clooney. Yeah, I sure am. Come on, man. Get out of here with that.
That's never happened to you. Stop it.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. It's never happened to me. No way.
It may have happened to him.
Kevin Costner. How about us being there September 2nd? That's what I'm talking about.
How about it?
Me, you, Tuffy, whoever else wants to hang out with us. Come on. Let's do it.
Book Argan, whoever else, right?
Hey, I always thought that Tuffy was just in Boo's backyard. That when you're the AD at NC State, that the wolf pup, that's just part of in the backyard with
wolf
the kids.
Pup. Is that what you thought?
That's what I
good.
Thought.
Let's move on, shall
I just
we?
Thought that was part
I
of the
know,
deal.
That's what you thought. Yeah, that tell you what, you're still coming back from the Delta variant. It's evident. Yesterday, Katie George, part of the ACC football road trip. Devin Leary and Peyton Wilson, how well do you know your teammate?
First question for you two. We're going to get to the game. Peyton's guilty pleasure TV show. What does he like to binge watch?
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Don't let him see.
Yeah, don't let me see it.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to finish, right?
Yeah. All right. He's finishing it. What do you think his guilty pleasure TV show is?
I'm going to go with Manifest.
Ooh.
Close. Definitely Shameless, though.
Ooh.
Best TV show of all time.
Really? Best TV show? It's a good show.
Shameless
I don't know
if it's is the best, but I love it. I love it. I used to binge watch it all the time.
Okay,
Manifest was a good guest, though.
Yeah.
Because I have been on that lately. Great
Happy?
Show.
Okay.
Great
all right.
show.
I'll put that on my list. Okay. What do you think Peyton's spirit animal is?
Spirit animal.
What is your spirit animal, Peyton?
I don't know. Let me figure it out.
I think I know.
You do?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. No, I was down there in Disney.
I'm gonna.
He's a big guy?
Yeah.
He's an aggressive guy?
I'm gonna go with a rhino.
A rhino?
Come on, bro.
Correct.
Lion.
The right animal.
A lion.
I was close.
You were close. I could see the rhino.
Yeah. You were talking about rhinos.
Yeah, rhinos.
Also, nobody felt the need to write down wolf or guess wolf, but I like that it was an individual answer. Okay.
Yeah, we're all the wolf pack.
Yeah.
We're all you guys stick pack. Together. Peyton's favorite late night snack. What does he go to the fridge for? Or the pantry?
She's like empty.
You're the cook. You're supposed to be stocking up.
I know. I think I know what it is.
Like late night snack. I don't know.
This is hard for him because you don't even know the answers yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, it's just very versatile guy myself.
I'm gonna go with fruit snacks.
PB&J. Late snack, PB&J.
Okay.
You guys can't hear, but there's a big going on for every answer.
Everyone.
Every single one.
You do kill the Mots, though.
Fourth question.
I do.
Fourth question for you. If Peyton could sign one NIL deal, only one, what company or brand would it be with?
One brand.
You knew that one. You were quick to the pen there.
Oh, for it, right?
Oh, okay.
You gotta know this, bro.
I'm going to have to go with Adidas.
PlayStation. PlayStation.
I should have known that.
You should have known that.
Yeah,
bro.
I should have known
that. Yeah, you should have.
That was bad.
Big video game household?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we have time.
Which isn't often.
Yeah. But when we have time, I like to play the video game sometimes.
What's the game of choice?
Call of Duty Warzone.
Drops? Any drops?
Yeah, what do you mean?
That drops. Fortnite, right? You get your drops, don't they fly out of health?
Oh, yeah. We drop like to a location, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Question five. Okay. What's your all-time favorite football player?
Okay, all-time. Definitely a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
no
has...
No hints.
Yeah, don't show me.
I'm not showing you, bro.
Definitely has...
Courtesy if your roommate of a year and a half goes 0 for 5.
I'm going to go with Ed Reed.
Yep, you got it right.
I love that. You ended on a high note. Well done, gentlemen.
You did good.
I appreciate it very much. Did you feel like he was supposed to know you a little bit better than that?
It is what it is, I guess.
I should have got.
Think he was going to go like 50% at least, you know?
Yeah.
But
I should have got the PlayStation 1.
Last night. Get that all over you, Wes. Tonight.
7 o'clock tonight, they'll be in Duke.
K-E. Yep. Duke.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Chris Cotter, Eric McClain will have the coverage for you at 7 tonight on ACC Network. And then tomorrow night, Mac Brown, North Carolina. There you go.
Looking forward to more of that coverage. We're not spending a whole lot of money on gas this week. I'm telling you. NC State, Duke.
Budgets.
Carolina, the budget's pretty tight for the tour right out of the gate. We knocked out three teams. Cost us $7 in gas to do the whole three shows. $7.
$7.
We're in the basement. Nice. By the way, we'll be in the basement. We'll be in the basement for free for the rest of the month. For the rest of the month. We go nowhere. We go nowhere. Till we see Tuffy on the second. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. All right. When we come back, Power Hour is next. And we go to the A to get it cranked up. Jeff Collins. How many do you think we'll have a hat changed during the interview?
I hope so.
GC5 is live next on Packer and Durham. Good morning.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.